I would like to. Praise the Lord. I want to quickly switch over. Pastor, can I do the switch immediately? Fantastic. I want to switch over to, I want to share with you, this may take me a little bit into preaching. Okay, I'll try to teach, you know, praise God. I'm a preacher generally, but sometimes you come to a meeting, understand the spirit of the meeting, and then you try to function with it. And I sense more of a teaching grace in this place, you know, so. And I think teaching is critical because this happens once in a year. This conference happens once in a year. So it's good for you to take note. I want to share with you a topic that I titled Maximum Success Through the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Maximum Success Through the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that we all desire to succeed in life. Is that not so? And that's what we're all in pursuit of. Everybody wants to succeed in life. And as you look around our world today, one of the things that you're going to find all over the place, you will have 7 steps to this, 16 steps to that, 9 steps to the other. The steps are just too many. When it comes to the world of success, Anthony Robbins has some things to share with you. When it comes to the world of success, Warren Buffett has some things to share with you. When it comes to the world of success, Robert Kiyosaki has some things to tell you. Everybody has something to say about what it takes to succeed. But as Christians, it's important for us to understand that while, although it is true that you need to have a vision, it is true that you need to have a goal. I believe in all those things. I teach them. You need to have a goal. You need to have a vision. You need to know your purpose in life. You need to have a strategic plan. I'm talking about the elements of success now. Is that all right? You need to have a clear strategic plan. You need to be dogged, courageous. There's got to be diligence, persistent, positive application of efforts in the direction of your expectation. You need to have all of that. You need to network. All these are vital principles of success. But you see, as I study the Bible, and as I look at my life, if I share my story with you, you will know that it's only God that can bring someone like me to where I am today. And I think it'll be a great disservice for me to come here and be sharing with you principles that I know in my heart were not responsible for what I became today or what I am today. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? Because you see, the problem in the body of Christ is that sometimes God lifts us up by the application of one major principle, and then when we come to the main stage, we begin to share 24 principles. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? And you see, it's all about being relevant. It's all about trying to share principles that will make those who listen to me say that, well, he understands what he's talking about. Now listen, it's important for me to be sincere to my God. It's important for me to learn to say a big thank you to my God. How did I get here? How did I come from a home where I had just a mother, a woman who lost her husband at a very tender age in her marriage? How did I come through the cracks? How did I come from the guttermost to the uttermost? How did I survive Hell's Kitchen? How did I make it through the struggles? How did I make it through poverty of all poverty? Because you see, when the poor looks at you and say, look at this poor boy, it means your poverty is to another dimension altogether. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? How did I make it here? When I consider the fact that the race is not for the mighty, it's not for the swift. When I consider the fact that in a nation of about 150 million people, where I come from, if I look back, and I think of some of the great names in my country, and I think about some of the kind of degrees that they have, and I think of some of the achievements that they've had, and I begin to ask myself, how is it that I am where I am today, in considering this kind of people, the myriads of those people, how is it that I'm able to make it to where I am today? I think it's important for me to learn to figure out and see exactly what God has used to make me what I am. Paul said, I am what I am, not by strategic planning.
I am what I am, not by goal setting. I am what I am, not by networking. I am what I am. Paul said, I've identified that there's one major thing that has made me what I am. He said, it is grace. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? He said, I studied under Gamaliel, but that's not why I am what I am. I'm a lawyer of repute. I'm a very, very, very well-learned lawyer. He said, but that's not why I am what I am. Paul said, I have both Greek and Jewish nationality. I have dual citizenship. You know, I'm an American and I'm African. And you know, he said, but that's not why I am what I am. Am I talking to someone in the house of God? I'm eloquent, but that's not why I'm what I am. I'm highly intelligent. Of all the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're talking about one person who commands intelligence at a different level, Paul was. And I thought when Paul was going to start talking about the key to his success, I thought Paul was going to say, I am what I am because of the level of my intelligence. Paul said no. He said, as I look at my life, as I look at how I've been able to make it to where I am, Paul said, I've identified one thing to be responsible for where I am. He said, it's grace. And so he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what, and that's why when Paul, if you look at the teachings of Paul, Paul spent the whole of his life amplifying what made him. Amplifying the mystery of grace. Because that's what made him. That's what took a man who was murderous by nature and turned him to become an apostle in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. And so Paul committed himself to sharing nothing but the grace of God. As you look back at your life and you look back through the paths that God has brought you from, I want to ask you a question. Have you been able to come down with one word that will describe in scripture what defines the key to your success? For Paul, it was grace. What will we call your own experience? You see, as I look at my own life, Pastor, I can just simply tell you that it's just one thing, the Holy Spirit. I've enjoyed the grace of God, no doubt. I've enjoyed the mercy of the Almighty God, no doubt. But if I'm going to tell you what I've enjoyed so strongly that has brought me to where I am, sir, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 1989, I was in a place of prayer. And while I was praying at about 4 a.m. in the morning, I was praying with another Christian brother in one of the cities in my country. And while we're praying in the early hours of the morning, we had prayed all night. And about 4 a.m. in the morning, sir, we just wanted to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And as we were praying, all of a sudden, I opened my eyes and I saw my other brother on the other side. And I saw like a band of fire around his head. And I screamed, I said, Lord, I said, that boy, he happens to be my convert. And I said, Lord, you've just filled him with the Holy Spirit. Because as soon as the band of fire came on him, he began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, give me the same thing you've given to him. And the Lord said to me, he said, son, no. He said, what I've given to him is different from what I want to give to you. And he said, look up. And as I looked up, the next thing I saw was a mighty hand of the Lord upon my life. He said, that is my gift to you. And the Lord said to me, that's the presence of my Spirit upon your life. I was going to understand that several years later, what that meant. And from that moment, I became filled with the Holy Spirit and began to pray in tongues like I've never done all my life. And things began to happen. The move of the Spirit of God began to take place in my life. I've seen incredible things when it comes to the move of the Holy Spirit. And as I look at how God is taking me from the backside to where I am today, on my way to where He's taking me to, I can tell you that one person that I will always be loyal to is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has been a wonderful person in my life. So if you want to have maximum success, one of the things that I find out is that the Bible makes us understand, sir, that Jesus Christ came to the earth. We notice that there are three major dispensations. If you're going to put all things together, three major dispensations: the dispensation of the Father, the dispensation of the Son, and the dispensation of the Spirit. We are in the dispensation of the Spirit right now. If you really want to have maximum success in this generation, in this dispensation, you need to learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not fellowship with grace.
You cannot fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not enjoy mercy. You cannot fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not enjoy the benefits that comes with that. One of the keys to success is what I call the Holy Spirit. If you really want to have a maximized life, I invite you to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Nobody can plan your life for you like the Holy Spirit. Nobody can reveal the future to you like the Holy Spirit. When it comes to strategic planning, nobody can tell you what tomorrow is going to look like other than the one who has studied the mind of the Father, the one who has researched into the mind of the Father to see what the Father intends to do in your life and through your life, both now and in the years to come. There's nobody that can do that like the Holy Spirit. And that's why I want to share this with you today. I'll let you know that if you really want to succeed in life, in whatever field you find yourself in, I want to say that the Holy Spirit must become your ally. You must have him as your friend. You must have him as your friend. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Jesus said something. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He said, I know I am called to preach, but I can't preach without the Spirit. I know I'm called to be a doctor. I know I'm called to be a politician. I know I'm called to be an entertainer. I know I'm called to be a media personality. I know I'm called to be an economist. I know I'm called to be someone involved in government. Whatever it is, he said, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to be, to do. I don't know what God has called you to do, but if you embrace the ministry of the Spirit, you will begin to see performance at another level. If you will just embrace the Holy Spirit, you will begin to see performance at another level altogether. Praise God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then the Bible says he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them, Pastor Lan, the eyes of all of them were fixed on him. Is that okay? Another one says fastened on him. You see, if you want to begin to command the attention of men, fellowship with the Spirit. And if you read your Bible very well, the Bible says concerning Jesus that after he had gone to Jordan, and the Bible says that the heavens were opened over him, the Spirit of God came upon him. The Bible says and Jesus went to the mountain to go and fast. And when he finished fasting 40 days, the Bible says on his way back, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit to go and fast and pray. And the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now watch this carefully. He was led up by the Spirit to go and fast. But he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now watch this carefully. At Jordan, the Spirit came upon him. But when he was coming from the mountain, the power of the Spirit came down with him. Oh God, you need to get that. You see, it's one thing to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible didn't say you shall just be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Because what you need to do, if you're going to succeed in and at it, you need power to get it done. We live in a diabolic world. We live in a world where just handing out food to people will not change their lives. It takes power flowing through the food to change the lives of people. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? We are a caring community, but we are not philanthropists. Am I talking to somebody here? We give food so that power can be transmitted through it, so that power can be transferred through us in order for people's lives to be changed. So you can succeed at what you do without the power of the Holy Ghost. We need power. The reason why you're not moving at the speed at which God expects you to move at is because you're applying so much of energy without the power, the dunamis of the Spirit of God. Praying without power can be frustrated. So Jesus Christ, what's this, sir? If I were you and you were me and we were Jesus,
The moment you have the Holy Ghost descend upon you like a dove, would you start your ministry and call it dove ministry? But look at this. Jesus had the Holy Ghost descend upon him, and the Father's voice was heard. And Jesus knew, it's not wise for me right now to just set out and begin to carry out ministry because I just had the Holy Ghost ascend on me. I need to be led by the Spirit that has just come on me into the wilderness. Because I need the power of the Spirit and not just the presence of the Spirit. What I need to carry out requires power. If I'm going to get Lazarus to come back to life, it will take power. If I'm going to have 5 loaves of bread in my hands and bless God and thank God for 5 loaves and see 5 loaves multiply and feed thousands, it will take power. If I'm going to speak to the storms that will want to come against my ministry, that will want to come against my life, if I'm going to be able to speak to inanimate objects, speak to trees, speak to the storm, and speak to blind eyes, if I'm going to be able to do that, it will take power. If I'm going to sing and impact lives, it goes beyond just coming with a voice. I need power on the voice. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Oh, I see a new dispensation of power coming in here. If I'm going to see multiplication, if I'm going to multiply, strategy will not do it. That's why strategy has not done it. Planning will not do it. Because that's why planning has not done it. That's why strategizing will not do it. That's why it has not done it. If I'm going to see multiplication, I embrace the Holy Ghost. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in the upper room. And while they were praying, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon them. And they began to speak with new tongues. And Peter stood up from among them and began to preach. Pastor, one day, one sermon. The Bible says 3,000, that's multiplication. 3,000 came in one day. Power will bring into your life what energy will never bring. 3,000 one day, sir. Acts chapter 2. We saw the same thing. Acts chapter 3. By the time we go to Acts chapter 6, the apostle said, look, enough is enough. This thing is overwhelming. Within a short part, what happened? For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ was the center of all attraction. The disciples did not increase more than 70. At his departure, the total number of disciples of Jesus after 3.5 years of ministry, total number of disciples, 120. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? But in one day, when power came upon all, not only on Pastor Lan, are you hearing what I'm saying here? The time has come when we need to go beyond just one pastor being anointed. The time has come when you've got to be anointed. The time has come when Boye has got to be anointed. When Pastor Olumide has to be anointed. When in the whole of this community here, in Kenwood, in Bronxville, in the rest of that High Park, when every member of this church, wherever we're found, we can lay hands on the sick and rebuke demons out of people's lives. We can speak to infirmities and infirmities vanish. Every member of the church anointed to minister. That is what we want. Multiply. It takes power. It takes power. It takes power. It takes the Holy Spirit in your life. There's more to the church than just coming around and dancing and shouting and all of that. There's more to church than that. If you're in church and you know your pastor, but you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know church yet. If you have been in church for about 3 weeks and you don't know the voice of the Spirit, you've been in church for 3 years and you don't know what it means to fellowship with the Holy Ghost, to get into your room in the night and just lock up your door and fall in love with Him, fellowship with Him, and let Him speak to you and let Him have communion, koinonia with you. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? If you've not had that kind of fellowship, then you don't know the Holy Ghost. When comes, when the Holy Spirit steps in, everything multiplies. Your career, you will experience quantum leap. In your career, suddenly you begin to notice jumps. Let me ask you a question. What was the secret of God's success at creation? How did God succeed at creation? He stepped out and noticed that the earth was without form and void. Tohu vabohu. Things were in a state of confusion. And God said, listen, I want to create and I want to succeed. I want to form things around here. I want to make sure everything reflects the picture that I have in my mind. In my mind, I see an orderly earth. But right now, what I see before me is a confused, chaotic earth. And I want to embark on creation. How am I going to create this? And somebody listening to me right now, you know that your life is in a state of confusion where everything is upside down. Life is upside down. Career upside down. How do I turn things around? How do I succeed? How do I have maximum success? How do I go from setback to bounce back? How do I move? And God was, what do I do? And the Holy Ghost said, you know, Father, do you want to see a change in what's going on? Hold back on your desire. Keep it to yourself. You don't speak before I show up. And the Holy Spirit said, let me move in the situation. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Moved on the situation. And now he said, Father, you can speak now. And the Father said, let there be light. And the Holy Ghost said, that's exactly what I'm going to make happen. And light came up. Let there be. And the Holy Ghost said, that's exactly what you're going to see. Because the Holy Ghost is the performing power of God. He turns words into reality. Am I talking to somebody in the house of, oh, you need to know the Holy Spirit. You need to fellowship with him. You need to fellowship with him. The Holy Spirit will make you a super mom and a super dad. There's a way to raise children beyond using whips on them. There's a way to raise children beyond insulting them. There's a way to raise children beyond shouting and threatening them. If you function from the place of the Spirit, you will raise your children differently. And the Father said, before I speak, the Holy Spirit said, let me go. And the Holy Ghost went. And because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we saw maximum success. The Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made. And they were very good. How did God succeed? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen to Jesus. Abraham. How did Abraham become the mighty man that he is? Or that he was in his days? Or where somebody said, well, he was blessed. In their days, they did not have the understanding of what to call the Holy Spirit today. So the blessing is what we call the anointing. So he was anointed. It was the Holy Spirit released upon him when Melchizedek, after the order of Christ, spoke into his life. Yes, sir. How did Joshua succeed in his mission? The Bible made us understand that for the spirit of wisdom was upon him because Moses had laid hands on him. And don't forget that Moses was the one that the Bible says, I will take off your spirit and I'll put it upon the 70 elders. Wait a minute. If you're going to take from the spirit of Moses and put on the 70 elders, it means that Moses had the spirit. Because you can't take from what the man does not have. Moses had so much of the spirit that you can take part of it and put on 70 elders and cause them to function as leaders and yet not deplete the man. It tells you that one of the reasons why Moses was successful in his campaign was because of the presence of the Spirit of God. Joshua was successful because of the Spirit of God. If you want to be a successful leader like Joshua, it's great to read the books of John C. Maxwell. I read them. Samuel Chand, I read them. I read all the D'Souzas of this world. I read all the leadership books in this world. But I've come to realize, sir, of reading books, there are no end. But there's something, sir. How did a man like Joshua lead the people of Israel into the promised land and settled nations, settled tribes in their various inheritance? It took the Spirit of God, sir. Not only did that man lead them, the Bible says that he also had successors because there were elders that served, elders that continued to lead after Joshua was gone. And it was only after those elders that we didn't have anybody to lead Israel anymore. So if you're talking about leadership, if you want to succeed as a leader, get the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
the Holy Spirit of God. He can make a leader out of you. He can make an entrepreneur out of you. Pastor was talking about the Father. Some of the things that we see here in this church were made by people who are not carpenters. Pastor said he had a revelation that since Jesus was a carpenter's son and Jesus dwells on the inside of us, that means the carpenter is on the inside of us. It is the revelation of the Spirit of God for you to hear that. And then here we have a situation today whereby the things that we see around here, you will think professionals did them. No, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon Bezalel. The Spirit of God came upon Bezalel and caused Bezalel to function in a dimension that he was not trained for. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? It's great to go and learn some things, but when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the Holy Spirit makes you to function in dimensions beyond your comprehension. I studied geology from the University of Ibadan in my country. What is a geologist? What has a geologist got to do with preaching the gospel? Today I'm teaching people on communication, how to speak and all of that. I didn't learn that in the university. Oh, there's a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty God. Give that him understanding. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? When God created man, he formed man on the earth. And the Bible said, God, he breathed into him the breath of life. The Spirit of the Lord has made me. The breath of the Almighty God has given me understanding. You want to succeed in what you do? Embrace the Holy Spirit. Is there frustration in your life? Are you in a state of confusion in your life? Are you going through troubles in your life right now? Embrace the Holy Ghost where you are. Embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will direct you. He will do for you what you've never imagined before. You want to multiply? Embrace the spirit of multiplication. You cannot have multiplication and ignore the spirit of multiplication. He is the spirit of multiplication. Wherever the Holy Ghost hovers around, wherever the Holy Spirit steps into, he multiplies whatever is there. That's the Holy Spirit, son. He can multiply love. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, how he sheds love. He sheds it abroad. Because everything about the Holy Spirit is always in the superfluous dimension. Everything about the Holy Spirit is always in the multiplicity of it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I love you, Holy Ghost. I love you, Holy Spirit of God. You look at Jesus, even our Jesus, man of God, you would have thought that Jesus would have succeeded on earth. You would have thought because he was Son of God, that's why he would succeed. No. My Bible told me that the reason why Jesus succeeded on earth was because although he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Bible said Jesus Christ came to Jordan's River where the heavens were opened over him. And the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him. That was why Jesus succeeded in his ministry. That was why Jesus had success. Do you want to succeed in what you do? Then embrace the Holy Spirit. I teach in management meetings. I teach in all kinds of... So I would have come here today and start sharing with you step number one, goal setting. Step number two, strategic planning. But you know you've done all of those things. Where have they led us to? But there's somebody you have left out of the whole game. You've planned, you've prepared, you've strategized, and you've eliminated the Holy Spirit out of the whole scene. Because now it seems you are the master of your own destiny and the architect of your own faith. Get the Holy Ghost back into your life. Get the Holy Ghost back into your ministry. Get the Holy Ghost back into your marriage. Your marriage will begin to turn around if the Holy Ghost can step in. Your career will take a new turn if only the Holy Spirit can come in. Say amen with me if you're in the house of God. If you look at David, a boy that was relegated to the background, a boy that was not counted as anything important, the Bible makes us understand that when Samuel came, took the vial of oil and anointed that boy, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. Are you listening to me? That's what the Holy Ghost does, my sister. He moves you forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you've been stagnating for a while, if you've been in one position for a long time, you've been in America for only God knows how many years now, and if you look forward, you look backward, you just find yourself, you know, you can't really talk about any major thing you've accomplished apart from just maintaining the status quo. If you really want to break forth, if you really
really want to move forward. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him and moved him forward. You want to go forward? Get the Holy Ghost into your life. You want to advance? Get the Holy Ghost into your life. You want to go beyond where you are? Get the Holy Ghost into your life. Begin to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Listen to him in the morning. Fellowship with him in the night. Take a Bible and your paper. He's about to lead you to a place you've never been before. He's about to show you what you've never seen before. For eyes have not seen my pastor, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has in store for his children. The Bible said, but the Spirit of God that searcheth the mind of the Father can reveal it to our own spirit if only we fellowship with him. There's so much that God can do for you. You can begin to experience major progress in your life if you will give the Holy Spirit a major chance. Look at the disciples of Jesus. Jesus said to them, he said, disciples, I know you have studied my ministry. For 3.5 years you have learned theology. You have learned how to cast out devils. You have seen how I multiplied bread. You've seen it all. Disciples, I have a warning for you. What you have seen should not move you to go and start. Calm down until you are empowered by the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? I know you have studied. I know you have read me. I know you've seen me. And for anybody, that should be enough to start a ministry. But disciples, hold on. I am your Savior. I am your Master. I want people to be saved. But as much as I want people to be saved, I will not send you into Kenwood without power. It's not enough to have passion. Passion will not change your community. You need power. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Don't just get into the community. City Light, don't leave this conference. City Light, don't leave this conference and go into this community without power. You need power to change your community. Language will not change them. English will not change them. Rhetoric will not change them. It takes power to change the community. It takes the Holy Ghost to change the community. Somebody say with me, Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, oh, thank you, Father. Jesus said to them, he said, listen, I know you've seen me. I know you've seen what I do. But don't move. I know that the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Don't let the law of need make you step into the harvest field. I want souls saved, but at the same time, I don't want to endanger those who are going to save them. There is no nation that carries its military and sends them to a battlefield to defend the nation without arming them. When it was time for Abraham to send his trained army to go and recover Lot, the Bible says that he brought out his trained army. So first he has trained them, but he didn't send them. In order to send them, the Bible says he armed them. Read your Bible. He had trained them, but he had not armed them. When the need arose, the Bible says the people who have been trained were armed. Training is not enough. Don't go into the community with just training. I've seen the frustration in ministry. We just carry passion. We carry training. We sit down in a class and we map out the community. And we say, okay, I've done that. And we just go into the community, Pastor. That's what we do in our community. We just go into the community. We bring them rice. We bring them bread. We bring them all kinds of stuff. We give them clothes. We give them medical treatments and all kinds of stuff. And we discover lives are not being changed. Because we did not listen to Jesus. We didn't understand that there's a spirit dimension to what we do. Arm them. He said, disciples, don't move. I know you casted out devils while I was here. That was because you were under my anointing. But I'm about to leave now. You need your anointing. Tarry you in Jerusalem. Come into fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit afresh again. Get him back into your life. And then you can begin. And man of God, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, while they were praying,
together the Holy Spirit came. I am trusting that before this conference will be over, the Holy Ghost will come into this meeting. I'm trusting that from tonight, some of you will get to your houses, and as you get back to your homes, in the place where you're just worshiping here, the Holy Ghost will come into your house. Some of you in your cars on your way home, while you're just worshiping your, the Holy Ghost will come into the car. Am I talking to somebody here? Can I say something, my sister? The assignment before you is huge. I see that God is giving you a very big assignment, but you can't carry it out in the energy of the flesh. I hear some of you here who have great voices. I mean, God is you've got great voices, but you see, the voice won't go far if the anointing does not come on it. You have all it takes to impact your world, but you can't impact your world until you've gotten what your world needs to impact them. And it takes the Spirit of God, because if voices can change people, the voice of Beyonce will have transformed the lives of people. But it just goes to show you that people can be excited when she sings, but none of her songs can change their lives. Am I talking to somebody here? Because the skillfulness of her voice cannot change anybody. You can be Michael Jackson, the skillfulness of your voice, the tenor with which you sing, or your soprano can change people's voice if the Spirit of God is not there. CEOs, those of you who do businesses here, the time has come to take your business to another dimension, riding on the wings of the Spirit, such that your competitors will be wondering at what is making you to be different. How is it that you're having the largest share in the market? How is it that you're having market dominance? And they'll be trying to think, maybe it's your logo, maybe it's your marketing strategy. No, sir, it's not your marketing strategy. The Bible says, he that is from above is above all. That which is from above is above all. The Holy Ghost will give you ideas from above that will take your business above all. Everybody here needs to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He said to the disciples, don't go anywhere. Sweetheart, don't go and do your recording yet. Don't go into the studio with your voice. Go into the studio with your voice and the Spirit. Don't go and do an album that you'll be the only one listening to. Go into the studio with your voice and the Spirit of God. He said, don't move yet. I know you've got passion. I know fire is burning in your heart. Let the fire drive you to the place of prayer until you can tell the world that you met with the Holy Ghost. Can you take me to the place? Can you take me to the place where you met with the Spirit of God? Can you tell me the date? I can tell you it was 1989, 3 months after my conversion. I can tell you where I met with the Holy Spirit. This is 24 years ago. And that's what has made me what I am, sir. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that told me to move into a place that nobody considered to be a place where our church is located. Pastor, you've been there. He was the one that told me with no money in my hand. He said, son, I'd like you to live where you are right now. And I want you to go and build a church for me. I said, Lord, I don't have money. He said, I want you to go build a 2,000-seat auditorium. He said, don't even discuss that with the church and don't raise funds. I said, how can I do that without raising funds? He said, don't raise funds. He said, don't talk to people about money. Don't invite any speaker to your church to come and raise money. I said, how am I going to do that? He said, I've given you an instruction. He that speaks knows where the resources are. I moved by faith, man of God. We dug the ground and we started the work. And somebody would just show up and say, Pastor, I don't know this church before, but the Holy Spirit told me that I should come at me. The Holy Spirit who told me to come, told him to come. Life can become easy. All this struggle can come to an end if you embrace the Holy Spirit. He knows where treasures are hidden. He knows where riches are kept. The Holy Ghost can guide you. The frustration is because of your ignoring him. The greatest burden you're having is because you are ignoring the Holy Ghost. You're not listening to him. It's time to get him back into your life. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Listen carefully, people of God. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. He's still speaking. And he wants to speak this morning or this evening. He wants to speak to you about your life. He wants to speak to you about your marriage. He wants to speak to you about your future. The Holy Ghost speaks. Say with me, he speaks.
the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He indwells us. If you invite him, he can dwell in you. He can stay in you. He can fellowship within you. He can travel with you. When everybody walks out of your life, he will be there with you. The Holy Spirit reveals. He reveals. There are things you need to know now, and things you need to start doing, and not what you are doing. It's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal it to you. Listen to me. Success begins when you can have a revelation of what the Father has done, so that you can begin to do it. I'll say that again. You didn't get it. Jesus says, I see my Father walk it. That's why I walk. As I see my Father do things, even so I do things. Success begins when you step into what God has stepped into. If God is saying to my sister, my daughter, I want you to go start an ice cream business. If the Father has stepped into it, you go into it. But if you go into something that the Father is yet to come into, that's why we have struggles. The Holy Spirit can reveal to you right now what to even pursue in terms of career. The Holy Spirit can tell you what course to go for, because the Holy Spirit knows that in the next 2-3 years, there will be a major demand for people like that. The Holy Spirit comforts. Have you lost anything? Are you going through pain? And nobody's counsel can seem to heal your wounds. The Holy Spirit can comfort you. He can encourage you. He can help you. He can come as the mediator, the one that stands by you. The Holy Spirit intercedes in and through us. Oh, you think you know how to pray. If only you will allow the Holy Spirit to take over, you will see prayer at another dimension. Oh, yes. You can have the Holy Spirit. If you just give the Holy Spirit the chance, the Holy Spirit can take over you and cause you to begin to intercede in the United States and Chicago here for somebody way back in Africa. You can begin to intercede at midnight, and God will be healing somebody somewhere else. The Holy Spirit intercedes. He intercedes through us. Not only that, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. He guides. He imparts into us gifts and talents that the world that we live in today needs. And as I begin to close, the Holy Spirit inspires us. When you're down, you feel like you should be given up, it's the Holy Spirit that comes around to inspire you. He strengthens us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. He restrains us. It's the Holy Spirit that will say to you, no, no, no. The Bible said they decided the apostles were to go and preach in Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit restrained them. Don't go there. What? I thought based on passion, we should go. People are perishing. He said, people may be perishing. Don't let passion take you to where I'm not leading you to. He guides us. Are you getting what I'm saying? The last thing I want to say to you is that the Holy Spirit anoints you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he had anointed me. Can you say that? Can you say he had anointed you? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He anoints you. Holy Spirit, anoint me. To anoint means to empower for a special assignment. Somebody needs to be anointed here. Listen, the kind of environment we find ourselves in today, the kind of economic situation we find ourselves in our world today, requires a special empowerment for you to prosper. You need special empowerment for you to thrive, not just survive. Anoint me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Wherever you are right now, I just want to say this to you. The first thing is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next thing is to ask that the Holy Spirit come into your life. But it's not enough to have the Holy Spirit in your life. Ask him to anoint you. Anoint me to be a public speaker. Anoint me to be a preacher. Anoint me to be a writer. Anoint me to be a caterer. Anoint me to be a medical doctor. Anoint me. Anoint me to do what I do. Anoint me. I'm tired of trying to do it myself. And as you ask for him, as you ask, he will anoint you.
He will empower you. And things will begin to change from today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I wish we have all the time. I'm 9 minutes beyond my time and I need to stop right away. I would just want you to lift your hands to the Lord and just say, Holy Spirit, anoint me. And please don't forget, you're going to take it beyond here. You're going to go to your houses. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come in fellowship with me. Holy Spirit, He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. I wish I can tell you more about Him. He's a person. He follows you around. If you invite Him, He will come. He will come. He can be there with you. Things will change from tonight as you recognize this person. As you invite Him to come on board, things will change. Ask Him to anoint you. Ask Him to empower you for the assignment He has given to you. Tell Him, now that you've known the assignment, now that you have the plan, now that you have the strategy, tell the Holy Spirit, anoint me, anoint me, anoint me. In Jesus' name we pray. At least because of our time, I'm just going to pray for you. Something happened about a few weeks ago. I was teaching on the Holy Spirit, and after I finished teaching, we had some manifestation in the place, and a lady walked up to me. She said, Pastor, all her life she's never experienced the Holy Spirit. And I said, can I pray with you? And I prayed with her. I said, go home tonight and don't sleep until you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. She just sent me a very long mail just yesterday. I was reading through this mail. Pastor, within the last 1 week, the encounters this girl has had with the Holy Spirit is amazing. She said, Pastor, she began to pray in her room, and as she began to pray, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit busted forth into her room, and before she knew, she began to pray in tongues, and from then visions began to come. She began to see things she never knew around her. Holy Spirit began to reveal things to her. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Spirit of God, that I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams. Everybody here should be able to plunge into that dimension of the Spirit of God, where at least you are able to see visions, you are able to prophesy, you are able to dream dreams. Everybody here should be able to partake of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're moving into the dimension of multiplication in this church, and that will come through the agency of the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of multiplication. I would challenge us to spend time together during this conference to pray until there's a corporate release of the anointing. Father, I pray that as your children gather to seek you the more, I pray that from tonight there will be divine visitation at individual levels in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And overall, at the end of this conference, we shall have a corporate visitation. Thank you, our God and our Father. Holy Spirit, I release everyone into your care, and I know that your credit is good with us. Reach out to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl under the sound of my voice. Visit them like they've never had the visitation before, in the precious name of Jesus the Christ. And everyone said amen.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.